My name is Don Johnson. I'm chair of the Port of Hook Audit Committee, and with my co-chair here, Connie Bacon. Now let's call our audit meeting session together. So if we'll please rise and say the flag salute. Flag's in the back here. I appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first thing on the agenda is the consent agenda. Mr. Bacon, do you have any comments on that? Would you make a motion to approve that?
Yeah, so moved.
I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Formalities are formalities.
Is there television going on?
This is an audit meeting. We're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to talk about, we're going to introduce ourselves to the state audit, and our accountant's going to talk about a few things. And I just want to stress to the public who might be watching how important audits are to our business. And it's a proactive thing to do. Some people don't like them, but they're really our favorite tool as we go forward, because the principle behind these things is if we can find something wrong now, it's a one-year experience and not a 10-year experience. And that's the key to everything. If something goes wrong, because we're all human, cut it to the quick, get it fixed, and go forward. So that's what our purpose is. And with that, I'd like to start with an issue on implementation of internal controls. Darren, would you like to open up?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. Darren Arakaki with the Port of Tacoma Finance Department. And I would like to bring you up to date on a committee on a internal control deficiency that was identified by our external auditors, RSM, in their 2016 financial audit that was completed in March of 2017. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear that the audit opinion that was issued was unmodified and clean. So the this internal control deficiency did not impact the opinion of the audit or the financial statements. So what I'll do is I'll go through a brief explanation of control deficiencies and the reporting requirements of the auditor for these control deficiencies.
If I can make one comment to the public who might be listening. We just did this an hour ago, the same issue, so it's been well discussed and well presented, but we want to do it again as a representative of the Port of Tacoma rather than the representative of the Northwest Seaport Alliance. That's the reason for the two meetings. Go ahead, Darren.
Okay, so on the slide that's up right now, there are three levels of control, internal control deficiencies. The one reported by RSM is number two, significant deficiency. And the key is here is that what it says is there's more than a remote likelihood that a misstatement of our financial statement or more than inconsequential will not be prevented or detected. So there's an error that probably it's more than inconsequential, so may have an impact on the financial statements, may not be prevented or may not be detected. Now, I just want to go back and say that the significant deficiency did not have an impact on the opinion of the auditors. When we have these deficiencies, the auditors are required to report these to the audit committee. So on this slide, it talks about the requirement, and again, significant deficiency is reported to you in a letter from RSM. So now I want to go through the significant deficiency and give you an explanation of the cause and what we're doing to remedy the issue. So I'll read, quote, this is from RSM's letter to the audit committee. We identified one significant deficiency related to controls over the accumulation of contract commitments. The port is currently using a purchase order system to track contract commitments, which requires manual manipulation as the system is not designed for this purpose. The original schedule provided incorrectly underreported the outstanding commitments by approximately $7.3 million. So the contract commitments are outstanding amounts owed to contractors for projects that we do or consultants. In a note that accompanies our financial statements, we disclose that so readers of the financial statements are able to understand how much the port has in payables that are up, that are due in the future. This, again, is part of a note disclosure, and it's not part of the financial statements. Also, this error that was caught by our auditors was in a schedule that was used to support this contract commitments in one of our notes. So again, it has no impact to the face of the financial statements.
Was that report more than it was or less than it was?
I'm sorry.
Well, it says the original schedule provided incorrectly under reporting outstanding commitments by $7.3 million, meaning that you overlooked $7.3 million, or your report was that there was $7.3 million more due than was due?
We did not report $7.3 million in the schedule. So okay. When we corrected the schedule, the commitments were $7.3
million. Would it have been a significant issue if you had reported more by mistake? Would that have also been significant?
The controls are about the accuracy.
I see. So, yes.
It's wrong either way.
You're wrong up or down.
Yeah.
Okay. And keep in mind, this is in a footnote in the annual financial statement. So
absolutely.
Even the monthly financial reports and financial packages that we published, all of those were accurate. And so the audit's completed before we issue the annual financial statement, so we were able to correctly report the right future commitment in that final report.
Right, and just for curiosity, do you remember what the number was, the correct number of outstanding commitments?
The total amount of contract commitments reported was $109 million.
Is that unusual? Was that a timing thing or what?
No, again, as we prepared the schedule that supported the $109 million, there were multiple contracts. There were a few that were incorrect. The amounts were incorrect.
Right, I hear that. My question is, that amount, $109 million or whatever it was, is that an unusual amount to be outstanding? And was it outstanding because their pay date hadn't quite come yet or because nobody went after it?
No, well, so what drives that amount for the Port of Tacoma is the amount of projects that we have in the pipeline. So it's mostly construction projects. So when we have large projects that
like T4,
those amounts are large. If we don't have any major projects, then those amounts would be fairly small. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of does, but simple one-track mind, is it money that you haven't collected and should have, or is it money that isn't due yet?
This is money on contracts that we owe to our contractors for construction projects or consultants for work that has not yet been completed.
I see. It's going out, not coming in.
Correct.
Got it. Is there a number of the coming in somewhere of money that's due to us that hasn't been paid? As we were talking earlier with Seattle.
That would be
Overdue.
You have days outstanding. That's reported in the financials and revenues. And
there is a number like that.
So there is a number like that. We do report that to you. We do look at that on a monthly basis.
And
work with our.
For curiosity, do you know what that number is at the end of 2016? Off the top of your head?
The amount that is past due?
Uh-huh.
No, but it's probably, it's immaterial.
Is it?
Yeah, because I watched, because days outstanding, it has at high interest rates, that's a moneymaker for you if you collect those payments. they have a days over 30, days over 16, days over 90.
Right.
The days over 90 you have to watch out for.
Right.
It's not very high.
Right. The reason I ask is because in years past, which before you and everything, Darren, sometimes we didn't go after that money in an orderly manner. And I'm just wondering, I'm assuming
I think we have some processes and controls and reporting in place now where management and also the commission knows as soon as we fall behind and, you know, we have receivables that are past due, we make everyone aware of it.
And the commission has primary responsibility because they have to they say,
right.
go get it, or
right.
they forgive it.
Okay.
They can do both. So it's,
that's
it becomes a commission responsibility.
I haven't looked carefully enough to see that every time.
But commissioners also remember, as it relates to receivables, money coming in,
right.
The auditors also look at what are the controls, and they test the controls to, you know, assure the adequacy of those controls, not dissimilar from how they're looking at our payments out. So there is a level of compliance there that
right.
you know, that we're maintaining and that is tested.
Right. So in other words, if it were not good in some manner, that would also be a fine at some
point. It would likely rise to, yes, if there was a weakness in that area.
Got it. Okay. That's good news. Thank you.
Okay. So, yes, we had an error. We can't improve our internal controls. And so here's what we're doing. Actually, here's what we have done, because we've already implemented this process. We've reviewed current contract setup and payment processing with the appropriate staff, so with the staff in contracts, with the staff in accounting. We also currently have a two-step process right now where each contract is manually reported, tracked on a contract-by-contract basis, so it's similar to a checkbook where you start out with the opening amount that you owe the contract, and as you make payments, you decrement that amount. Those are called recap sheets in Port Tacoma lingo, and what we do is compare that on a monthly basis now to the report of contract commitments. So we'll know right away, and we have, you know, found a few of these, we'll know right away when they do not match. We're also investigating some new software that may help us with this procurement tracking, because we don't have one currently that is specifically designed to do this. But we feel now that we have current controls in place and reconciliation processes in place to make sure that this does not happen again. So with that, any further questions?
I guess the only comment I make, this will, since this was a line item last year, it'll come up in our current 2017 audit. We're going to start that pretty soon, I guess, right? When are we going to start that?
Doing preliminary work next.
They are here. They started this week with preliminary work.
I think they're here all the time. Thank you.
When you made those corrections, you checked it with the auditor who had the concern, and they thought your corrections were adequate.
We have not. Yet,
but they will
not
they will.
Yet. But they
not
are
yet.
They are
They've
here.
They've not tested them, but we've engaged in conversations a while.
Yeah, they are here beginning their interim work, and we will walk through this new process with them. And
sure. And if it's between meetings, maybe just let us know that what your corrections were thought to be adequate.
That'll show up. Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, it will.
Thank you very much, Darren. Anything else?
You're from now.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the State Auditor's Office, a single audit item. Joanne?
Thank you. I'm Joanne Klein from the Auditor's Office Tacoma team, and I have Dave Smokel with me. We're here to present our exit conference for the single audit piece. So just briefly up. We'll talk about the office, the single audit, and how it relates to the financial statements, our upcoming accountability audit, and then the reports and publications. This is a little bit about our office. We want government to work better, cost less, and earn public trust. And as I have communicated, Pat McCarthy is very approachable, and if there's concerns noted anywhere in state, she has willing to take those calls and try to make sure that we're meeting our goals. So because we audit your federal audit, the federal audit requires a financial statement in a GAGIS, and government, that's the yellow book for federal. And so we are, the process currently is that we review RSMs, and it comes out in a report for both financial statements and your single audit, and that's how we report to the federal government your audit. And because of the significant deficiency that's been discussed, we had to report that in our report as a finding. So the finding is pretty much what Darren said, and it does include a port response that you've already taken corrective action, and we will also, your auditors, and we will follow up during the course of the next year's audit.
Make sure we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you're familiar with us doing the financial piece with it, and standards just require us to report that as a finding. So under the internal controls, it was a significant deficiency reported in your finding. And then the federal audit, which did you want to talk about?
Sure. Okay, so the next slide. So the port received over $750,000 in federal funding in 2016. So that's the threshold for which a federal single audit is required. So in 2016, we selected the National Clean Diesel Program in order to meet the required audit coverage of those federal expenditures. So the Clean Diesel Program, it's funded by EPA. The program involves refurbishing one of your old diesel engines to make it energy efficient and actually extends the life of the engine. The port received the money and passed it all through to Tacoma Rail. So in essence, they were a subrecipient of that funding. So we look at the required federal compliance requirements for that program, which are listed there. Activities allowed. We're testing the expenditures to make sure they're allowable per the program requirements. We look at cash management just to make sure that you're receiving the money after the expenses are incurred, and then drawing it from the EPA. Period of performance, that's the money spent within the term grant period, which is in the grant award. And reporting requirements, there's quarterly financial requirements that we're just looking to see that you're making them on time and reporting the information that is required by the EPA. And lastly, subrecipient monitoring, because you pass the money through, we're looking at the port's controls over that process, how they monitor the money that goes to Tacoma Rail. And primarily there, we were looking at procurement procedures at Tacoma Rail, that they were checking procurement procedures and their capital asset policies related to the
make sure the money is going where we thought it was all going.
If it's less than $700,000, do you have to make that federal report?
No.
So then when you make the report, does it include the first $700,000 to the total amount, or just over and above the $700,000?
We report all your federal dollars. Once you hit that threshold,
it goes from dollar one. Okay.
So there were no issues or problems with the audit. You were in compliance. You met the federal report compliance. The controls were good. There were no issues there. And the last thing we need to do in relation to this audit is to do your data collection form or report to the feds, the federal clearinghouse. And that is the report that will be issued this week. And we'll
get
that done.
Good. Thanks.
So we are also going to be starting the accountability audit. That'll start again sometime in October. We're hoping to get the audit completed by December. Things that we look at, and we haven't fully planned this audit, so these are in general the types of things that we look at: tools and inventory, payroll, We're always looking at minutes, purchase cards, and expenditures. As we go through the process and narrow our scope, we will definitely communicate to Darren and whoever else we need to, what areas that we're focusing on during that accountability piece of the audit. And again, let's see, our reports are public and we post them. We have a listserv so everyone gets notice. I expect your financial single audit report to be issued the 21st, and then the accountability sometime in late December. Again, we are committed to confidential information, keeping your records confidential. This is the estimated audit cost, and it's been consistent over the last several years with the amount of hours that we use. And then, Darren, we've worked well, actually really well, during the course of having to disclose this finding in our audit report. I was on the phone with him a lot, just making sure we got all the facts correct, and also RSM. So I really appreciate his willingness and helpfulness during the course of the audit.
And Joanne, I think here the 46,000, that's what, slightly over 400 hours.
Yes.
I so by so. Contrast, you know, we this morning looked at the Northwest Seaport Alliance where they're estimating approximately 60 hours. I think this is still a reflection that a large portion of the transactions and the controls are still in the home ports. That's why you're seeing a much larger body of review in the home port of Tacoma and why they're able to narrow their focus in the Northwest Seaport Alliance.
Yeah, so we didn't change the port, and we'll analyze that as more work kind of ends up in different places. We may have to adjust the budgets accordingly. But this also includes our federal audit as well as our review time for the financial piece as well. So if that is our contact information, if there's ever any questions or concerns, feel free to contact any one of us on this page and we will get back to you and try to answer any questions you have.
Great. I want to thank you for the audit time, and I want to thank you. I think the important thing here is the relationship between the audit team and our accounting department. I think that is absolutely key to being successful. You find issues, you fix them, and you move on. And that cooperation and being able to call, I don't think people realize how often people should call throughout the year. The public as a whole doesn't do that because they don't do it. But those relationships throughout the year are absolutely key to a successful audit, so I appreciate that very much. Commissioner Bacon, you know?
I think I agree entirely. I just have always appreciated the relationship that the internal accounting department has established with our auditors, both state and private, being willing to listen, being willing to work cooperatively. You can't be more satisfied with clean audits for 20 years.
That's the end of that topic item, and we're almost to the end of our meeting. The one thing we haven't done, we're still coming up with the compliance audit for the end of the year, too, right?
We've actually issued the compliance report and had the opportunity, if we want to talk to it here in this, we can add that to the agenda for the next meeting.
Just a Port of Tacoma Audit Committee meeting?
Yes.
Yeah, we can do that because one of the things we started several years ago is we do a compliance audit and make sure all the department heads understand all the laws and rules and changes that they have to comply with. Sometimes you get so busy you just forget. And once a year, I think it's always good to sit down and review those things and make sure we are, because the rules change all the time.
Right.
Not just in accounting, but every place else. Make sure we're following the rules of the road and keep people out of serious trouble. If we have a problem, we just fix it. Again, right. We just fix it. So let's put it on the next agenda if we're done with it.
Are those compliance issues all in your listed somewhere so that you know where all the compliance requirements are, or do you have some here and there and somewhere else? In other words, is it easy to have a list to check off, or do you have to find the list?
Yes and no. What we have done is compiled a comprehensive list of all the agencies that we have compliance requirements with. In terms of getting down to a checklist of everything, if we do this, we're 100% compliance, not sure that we could ever achieve that. but...
It's just too complex.
Well, no, every department head has to certify that they're doing these things, because I used to do this.
Right, right.
The advantage that we have is we have a PR staff that's in Olympia all the time, so they understand the rule changes. And it's very difficult for a department head to understand if something's going on in Olympia that's going to change the rules, for them to always pick up all those rules, because they're changing all the time. Sometimes they're loud rules, and sometimes they're very quiet rules. They're subtle rules you don't know. So it just
aren't all rules that apply, that you have to comply with, aren't they published in some manner?
Yes, and our expectation is that we comply. So what we do track in a comprehensive list is any exceptions to that, any failures.
That's right.
But we, like I said, that, you know, as opposed to having one single list where you have everything.
Right, right, right.
That the expectation is that we are fully in compliance. Like I said, we understand all the agencies and legal requirements around that. And the expectation is, yes, we're compliant. And if we have a an exception to that, we do track that and compile that, and then that's issued in the compliance report,
right,
as well as our corrective action.
Yeah, and the department has to signs off on that, so all of a sudden they have a legal accountability also, because they've signed off that they're doing this.
Would you consider, given our, actually it's coming up, considering our discussion on risk assessment, would you consider that there is any risk in missing a compliance requirement? Is there anything that we can put in place so that we won't miss a compliance requirement?
Can I help you answer that question? I think what you do is human beings...
I'm glad he's here.
Human beings are human beings. It comes from the top. Department heads have to realize that they have to follow the laws of the state and the federal laws and the laws of the county and the city to do business. And they also have to follow the policies that the commission authorizes and the port itself authorizes. And it's in their best interest to sit down and make sure they understand those before they start doing business. And we have to rely on those department heads doing a thorough job. And what happens at the end of the day, the CEO takes a department on and you actually drill them and you actually ask questions. How do you know you're doing that? How do you know you? So just don't sign the report, because the important part is you signed that, and then you marked all your, and then you signed that, so you have an obligation. All of a sudden you're exposed, and when the CEO signs that, now that's where the lawyers go.
All I asked was, is there a risk, or how high is the risk, if at all, that won't happen?
Well, and what I would say to you is it depends. So, for example, if we had a non-compliance or exception in OSHA, there could be fines and corrective action. If we had such as we had here with significant deficiency, it's there isn't a financial impact, but certainly there's
interpretation,
in terms of pride of work, and the corrective action, you know, was not a significant cost. So it really varies, but you know, the expectation is that we are fully compliant and that we understand where there's higher risk items, that we ensure a higher level of compliance, whether it's, you know, controls or even follow-up checking, reviews.
So if there are legislative changes or something, you rely on your department head or your government person to make sure the department head knows that there's something.
And as it relates to that, yes.
I'm just trying to figure out how reliable the process is that we comply. And I know that if there was something that didn't, it would be just an honest mistake and it would be corrected and all of that.
Right.
But I love checklists.
But yes, if there's any legislative changes that require changes in compliance, we're fully aware of those and connected with those and make sure that we have implementation plans to ensure we're compliant with that.
So that would not be a risk. It would be a high risk that might come in the next section that we're going to have on.
I think it would be unlikely that we would be unaware of a legislative change that we'd be out of compliance. I would,
based on
my experience, I would say that's likely a low risk.
Low risk. Okay.
I'd be more worried about the accounting changes that come from the federal government. You have to do certain things.
I would say implementation of accounting standards.
They're very complex sometimes.
We're very aware of them, but they're very complex.
Yes, they are. Now, what do you mean by that?
Take a lot of time. What do they call it?
Security.
Security,
okay, we're down to I see nobody in the public that wants to make a comment. Lisa, you want to make a comment?
No, I'm
okay. Commissioner comments. Commissioner Bacon?
I'm good. I'm just so proud of our accounting department and our state and private entities that help us keep our, well, there's a comment, but it's not a nice one. So, to, you know, to keep us doing what we're supposed to do. And I'm very proud of that.
Thank you very much. I'll second that. And with no other comments, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.